Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back to Real Estate Coaching Radio. We are your hosts, as always, Tim and Julie Harris. Mindset Hacks, Rich People Know That You May Not, Part 2 is the topic of today's show. Julie, you are on, and welcome to today's podcast, and hopefully you have a lot of jovial messages from the Facebook and whatnot to share with our listeners. I know a lot of our I want to share a recurring theme I've heard from my coaching calls this week too. And but if you've got anybody else you'd like, anyone you'd like to give special thanks to or recognition, this is your chance.
You know, a special shout out to all of our brand new Premier Coaching members. There's a lot of you guys that joined this week, so we wanted to give a special shout out group welcome to you. And they're all doing a great job introducing themselves on the private Facebook page, where there are many referrals exchanging hands. In fact, there's two sitting there right now waiting for somebody to snap them up. And let's see, lots of beautiful new listings being highlighted there. And there actually have been some transactions amongst students state to state, especially in the resort market. So I like to see action there as well. And of course, some great stories of victories over the Memorial Day holiday week. Those of you who were actually working had particularly great results. I don't know if that's because more people were home or you are more motivated. For whatever reason, we're just seeing new listings flooding in from that contingency. So it's kind of a group shout out so that I don't take too much time. Back to you.
Well, so holiday week, and it's still going on now, today, last day, tomorrow, first day. Make sure you guys are drilling down into the weekend. Yep, there's a lot of people who are not working this week. I had another two of my high-end clients that basically decided to go to the beach last minute. So there you go. When folks that are at the very top of their careers decide not to work during this week, you all have to realize this means great opportunity for you. You know, some of the biggest sharks are out of your local water, so you might as well feel a little bit safer jumping in. If you've never prospected before, you know, this is your time to do it. That's, Julie, I always go back in my head to when you and I, our first year in the business, sold over 100 houses, our first year in our early 20s. And how did we do it? We didn't have any witchcraft or alchemy. We just worked. We did what we didn't want to do, and we didn't want to do it at the highest level. And oftentimes that meant we worked when other people weren't working, and that gives you an advantage. And if you ever read any books, guys, on anybody who's ever accomplished anything in life, one of the recurring themes you always hear is that they did what they didn't want to do, and they didn't want to do it at the highest level, which often meant they had to work on the holidays, which often meant they had to work on the weekends. When you're starting a business and when you're trying to build your business, if you think you can do it passively, you're wrong. You're going to have the market. It will absolutely eat you alive. So pivoting slightly, I had a couple interesting coaching calls. I guess these are in my head just because I had them back to back. So one of the top agents in LA followed a coaching call I had with one of the top agents in Connecticut. And both of them started out the call the same way. And remember, these are guys that make millions of dollars a year selling real estate. They both said that their listing side of the business or the market sucks, or they had basic attitude problems about what was happening in their markets. And I'll tell you what I told them. Remember, these are guys that have been in the business for decades. And so they still go through these emotional upheavals as everyone does, just wanting you to know that that usually doesn't go away. And when it does go away, when you stop being ultra sensitive to the ebbs and the flows in the business, you probably have lost your effectiveness. You know, sometimes you become a little bit too muted to what's actually happening in the marketplace. And as soon as you lose that fanaticism for basically your business, you lose your edge. So again, there's another little hopefully helpful thing. Those of you who feel like you're fanatics and everyone about your business and your success and everyone around you says, you know, it isn't like you, including your family members, don't worry about it. You're right. Okay. You're right to be fanatical, because the truth is that only the fanatics, and I mean that in a good way, obviously, are going to be the ones that accomplish great things in life. And that means that you oftentimes are going to be the only one working. You might be the only person in your life that you know that's actually doing these things and not spending time in front of the grill making hot dogs or, you know, wasting time doing other wasting time things, because you're trying to accomplish something great, something significant. So stay attached to this podcast and our coaching program, and you'll always have a compatriot. You won't feel alone on your ascension. So just keep that in mind, that if you do feel like an outcast in your own cast, because you're, you know, feeling like a fanatic, or people view you as, oh, you're working too hard. Aren't you going to stop and smell the roses? You know, I want you to remind yourself that that is something that people say when you're making them feel insecure, because they see you starting to do something exceptional with your life, and they don't like being forced to be introspective about the fact that their life is getting by them and they're not doing the things that they don't want to do and they don't want to do at the highest level. And that's the reason they're slowly growing fatter and poorer and kind of losing grasp on what it was that they originally were motivated in life to do. A little harsh, but hell, we only have you 30 minutes a week or a day. We might as well be completely and totally direct with you. All right. So coaching calls, two of them right in a row, where people were, you know, these guys were, you know, bemoaning the market. And so what I did is I said, first of all, do you realize that every May going into June, the market sucks? And especially in high end, do you realize that every May going into June, people have other things going on in their lives that cause distractions? The kids going back to school, the kids getting out of school, graduations, summer plans, you know, people taking a breath before the busy summer, whatever, whatever, whatever. And if you look at statistics, pretty much it's consistent. It's been consistent like that for the past 7 to 10 years, that the market gets a little bit slower in May and picks up again in June and July and August, slows down a little bit in late August, early September, as kids go back to school and people start getting into that fall mode of things. And then there's another rush that usually levels off in usually early November as people try to get into a house before the end of the year. Normal, predictable cycles, okay? So it doesn't matter where you are. When you go to your office meetings this week and you hear people bitching about the market, just remember what your coach told you. Normal ebbs and flows. And what you have, and write this down, everyone, it's too soon to tell. This is how you level off the peaks and the valleys of emotions. You have to, remind yourself that it's too soon to tell. Julie, what was that movie we watched over the weekend? 1614 from France or whatever it was,
yeah,
that Clint Eastwood movie. Just Google it real quick, would you? So it's a Clint Eastwood, just your key. Yeah, you're right. Clint Eastwood movies, you know. So anyway, here's the gist of this movie, and Julie will tell you the name of it. It was a good movie. So there's three, one of them wasn't, but two of these guys, they're best friends from forever. They're on this train. They're in, I think it was a train going from France to, I don't remember where. And you guys remember, this was in the news like maybe 3 years ago. So a terrorist gets on the train, and this guy is for real. I mean, he's got an AK-47. He's got what looked like a 9mm, and he has 300 rounds of 116 ammo or whatever it was. And he was ready to go to town on the train and kill everyone in the train twice over. Okay. So this guy gets on, and, what happened is that these two American soldiers and this one other guy who was their best friend from kids, you know, from being kids, they attacked this guy, and it was not an easy, you know, a fight, but they ended up basically subduing this guy and saving everyone's life on the plane, even though the guy who did the main attacking was, you know, cut with a knife and just all these other, you know, the guy really basically went to town on the terrorist guy did. But here's what the gist of the movie was. This guy, the one I just told you about, who interestingly enough, the actual actor in the movie was the actual soldier who this, so he, not only did he write the screenplay, him and his friends, but he actually and his friends actually acted in the movie. So when you're watching this movie, if the acting doesn't seem up to the normal standard of a Clint Eastwood movie, not as dramatic, it seems almost too real, it's because it is. It's the actual guys that had the experience. So that's kind of an interesting, I don't know, almost poetic, beautiful twist to this movie, the reason you guys all have to see it. But here's what I'm hoping you take away from it. He had never been a rock star at anything in his life. Matter of fact, he had a long series of, I won't call them failures, but he had a long series of base hits, and he never actually scored a point.
Failure
never
launch,
actually was.
Would say.
Yeah, he has a long series of failures to launch. And I won't go into the movie because I don't want to ruin it for you. But it wasn't one. It was like 10 in where he tried to do this and it didn't work. He tried to do this and it didn't work. Sounds like many of you, doesn't it? Sounds like your kids, doesn't it? But here was what was interesting. So like he was in the military, and he wasn't that good at martial arts, but eventually he got so he could do a stranglehold. When he was in, when he was trying to become a corpsman of some variety that jumps from helicopters and whatnot, he didn't qualify because he had a problem with his vision, but he did take a lot of the life-saving classes. But in the life-saving classes, he wasn't really very good. When they were doing the testing and they were trying to, you know, get these guys to be acclimated to saving somebody who was in pieces using dummies and whatnot, he wasn't very good at it. He basically, his dummies kept on, you know, artificially dying, the whole thing. But he kept on trying. So this was a guy that kept on trying. He didn't quit. And he had all these series of what normal people would have called failures. Normal people would have given up on his pursuit to try to do something great with his life after the first failure, if not then, after the second or the third. But he kept on trying. Sounds like the Abraham Lincoln story of him trying to become president. So this kid, he didn't stop. He didn't stop. And he kept on trying. Didn't have any successes. But here's what was miraculous that happened on this train. All right. So all these little previous experiences that he had all came to a culmination on this train, because not only did he have to essentially use all of his previous training, he had to use it all within a very, very short period of time, like 5 minutes. He had to save somebody's life who was shot. So he was able to use the corpsman training. And all of a sudden, he basically was the world's best corpsman and saved this guy's life. He was able to save the people on the train through all his physical training, through his martial arts training, through all this stuff that he'd never been that great at. All of a sudden, all of it had a purpose. So had he given up, and he'd basically given up the first letdown, as most people do, and he maybe never even would have, he was on that train because he was in the military, and him and his other military friend had leave, and so they're already stationed in Europe. So had he not had all this previous, what more normal people would have labeled as failures, had he not been on that plane, that train, because he didn't stay in the military, if all those previous things hadn't happened, there probably would have been 300 dead people on a train leaving France 3 years ago. But because he was there, and because he had all that proper previous training, proper previous planning prevents pitiful poor performance.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, because he had that, he was able to essentially be an unbelievable hero and save. And you know, when you think about that, 300 people lived, 300 people survived, even the guy that was shot. Think about all the other people that would have been essentially affected, all the future generations of people that never would have been born, all the lives that have been ruined because that one asshole terrorist. And this guy and his friend and his other friend basically saved all those people's lives because they didn't give up, because they never quit. I think that's a miraculous story. So, you know, when I think about like those two coaching calls I had, I have to remind them that these ebbs and flows in the markets, even though you go on a listing presentation, maybe you don't take it, or you try to call a seller and the seller's, you know, anxious because the house isn't sold, or all these normal things, these you cannot label successes or failures. You know, you get a commission check for $500,000. I know that's a dream of all of you, and, you know, hopefully it happens for all of you, but maybe your dream check is the largest check you ever received was $5,000 or $10,000. So that's a huge success for some of you, right? Well, don't label it as a success. You have to tell yourself it's too soon to tell, because if you remind yourself it's too soon to tell, that when you have that mindset, when you have a failure, the failure doesn't knock you off your mindset. It doesn't throw you into a deep well of bullshit that it's very hard to get back out of. You just say, okay, well, this was a setback. I stepped up to the plate and I swung and I struck out. Okay, whatever. I only got on first and then I didn't quite make it to second. Whatever. Next. Oh, then the next time you get up to plate, you hit it, a good hit and you get on third, but you don't quite run, you don't score a point. Well, keep on trying. Too soon to tell. What wears us out emotionally, everyone, and not just in real estate, just in life in general, is when you overwallow in the sorrows and you over-celebrate the victories. Our bodies are not physiologically designed to handle those ups and downs. It wears you out emotionally. And it really does make it so that you don't have the staying power and the stamina and the mental and spiritual energy to have anything more than the occasional good month. So hopefully you guys internalize that. I would love to get more into depth with this, with all of you on this topic, because it's something that I learned this, by the way, from coaching. I didn't learn this from selling real estate. When Julie and I sold real estate, I wish someone would have told me what I just told you, because it would have saved us a lot of white hairs. That's the bottom line. Okay. So that's the bottom line. So if you live by the credo, it's too soon to tell. And when you have something bad happen, tell yourself it's too soon to tell. When you have something good happen, too soon to tell.
To your point, that movie was a great example of that. It was called The 1517, as in the time it was leaving, The 1517 to Paris. If you guys want to check that out, I think we saw it on Netflix or something like that. Because it was like one thing after the next, too soon to tell. And I think you and I both kind of were onto it by about halfway through the movie that, the story was that they took out the terrorist. Okay, that's what we all know is the story. But the real story is the story behind the story, of it being too soon to tell, and this guy and his friends, especially our main character, not giving up, having that stick-to-itiveness, if you will, that even though he was never top of his class, And in fact, in some cases, I think he actually failed out of a few things. He didn't give up. He knew what his core purpose was. He just didn't know exactly when it was all going to come together.
You remember what he kept on saying?
You know, the fact that remind me.
He kept on saying throughout the movie, he kept on saying to his friends, and he would say this at sort of poetic places around Europe. He'd say, like, do you ever feel like you have a life purpose yet to be fulfilled?
Oh, that's right. He kept on saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. He kept on saying, do you ever feel like all this is for a reason and you just don't know quite what it is yet? That is the very definition of it's too soon to tell. So that's the, I hope I didn't ruin the movie for you guys. It's really, if you watch it and just remember the guys you're watching were the actual guys that were, you know, freaking doing this. I think it's pretty freaking amazing that that they did it in the first place. B, they wrote the, I mean, think about all the successes that came after that. He wrote the screenplay. Mr. Eastwood called him and said, hey, you want to make a movie? And then he said, hey, you want to star in the movie? I mean, put all these pieces together, guys.
That's talk a about too soon to tell too, right? I mean, who would have predicted that?
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully this motivates all of you. By the way, do you guys see how when Julie and I are motivating you, trying to motivate you, we're not doing all this mindset, and I'm going to sound harsh and crass and lacking of class, and maybe all those things are true, but I'm going to tell you what I'm really thinking. Do you see when you guys, when we're telling you stories like this, how you feel motivated? Do you see when Julie and I are sharing this information with you, it's real, it's actual, tactical and practical, it's not this mystical mindset bullshit? Do you see the difference? So Julie and I are believers in a strong mindset. We are not believers in the mindset movement, the universe will provide for you, the, you know, all that. I want you to be very, very clear that all that mystical stuff is nothing other than snake oil. And you have to see it for what it is. The universe ain't going to bring you shit. Okay. You have to take the action yourself. We don't need to bemoan or belittle, but the fact is there's so many people who have wasted life potential trying to believe themselves into success without realizing that they have to keep on stepping up to the plate. Even if they don't hit home runs, even if they get struck out, it doesn't matter. You have to keep on trying. That's the whole point. And as the recurring theme in this movie, we all have a life purpose. We all have a point. Now, this guy's point in his life seemed to come to a point, literally, right? Saving all those people's lives. And that kind of, you know, that was a nice, you know, Clint Eastwood type movie. But maybe you don't ever have a point where it's all making sense. There is no Hollywood moment in your life. So maybe your payoff in your life, the point of your life, your existence, is every single day, this is ours, I'll tell you that, is being of service to other people. What you say and what you do is designed to intentionally help other people. Whether there's a direct correlation between that and you getting paid is irrelevant. You're just trying to do the right by every single person you come by and intentionally trying to improve everyone's life around you, not just your immediate family, though they obviously are priority, but everybody you come in contact with. And if you can embrace that mindset of service, if you can actually allow that to manifest with inside of you, what's going to happen is you will naturally want to get better at your job, because you'll realize the better you are at your skills, the more people you can help. And if you know that your highest and truest purpose on this planet is to be of service to others, which it is, then the best way for you to do that is become the absolute rock star salesperson, real estate salesperson that you can. And that means you'll have to master your skills. That means you're going to have to be free of the bullshit gimmicks that are out there. That means you're going to have to decide to no longer allow the plaid suit wearing con man to sell you Facebook tricks and hacks and all this other crap. You're going to have to be willing to be the person that's willing to do what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level, and have the courage to say no to all these pretty shiny, easy button gimmicks. Guys, all that crap's going to go poof, along with big teams, along with branding, all that crap in the next 24 months, if what my prediction is that there's going to be a recession. Remember, I told you that. There will be all these companies that are trying to sell you guys all this gimmicky ego crap will just evaporate like they never existed. And all the people who've built their businesses around buying buyer leads and big teams and brokerages, you're the ones I'm fearful for. What's going to happen when the economy really noticeably slows down? When interest rates go up, they've gone up a whole percentage point since last September. What if interest rates keep going up? What if inflation comes back? Do you even have any freaking idea what inflate? Don't act like you do because you read an article. You don't, because many of you have never lived through it. I've only lived through it as a kid. What are the effects, listeners? You know, those of you who think you have it all figured out. When inflation hits, when interest rates go up, what's going to happen to your business model? I know what's going to happen to your business model, because we've seen it happen before. It's going to go poof. You need to embrace the fact that if you're not skills-based, focused on listings, you're not going to be relevant in the business going forward. All of you who are fearful of these, you know, tech companies, all the rest of it, guys, these tech companies all do one of two things. They sell you leads, or they sell you shit to basically manage your leads. That's all they do. They don't have it. There's no big innovation from coming from tech companies. They're all basically doing the same variations of the same things. Oh, the ones I really like are the ones that supposedly have this witchcraft and alchemy formula to somehow predict what, you know, sellers are going to be selling. I'll tell you another true coaching story. I know, Julie, we didn't get to our topic again, but this is a good one. Okay. So I'm on the phone today with the number one agent in Reno, Joe. Okay. And Joe's making, he'll make a shit ton of money this year. I'll just leave it at that. Mid seven figures. So I'm talking with Joe, and Joe tells me, Tim, I listed this, I sold this, I did this, I did the other thing. But he said, I'm going to tell you the thing I'm most proud of. And I said, what is it? He said, well, I got a call from a investor, or from a guy who wanted to sell this property. He inherited it. There were some tax lien, or there's some, like, you know, HOA liens and just miscellaneous Mickey Mouse liens on this property. And the guy inherited the property. He wanted to just get rid of it. And so I bought it from him for $250,000, closing out in 30 days. Joe over-disclosed the fact that he's an agent and whatever, whatever. Over-disclosed the fact that he was probably going to flip the house, which he did. Joe sold the property to an investor for $300,000, already in contract. He's going to make $50,000, but that's not the good part of the story. The good part of the story is Joe said, huh, I wonder how many other people in the same geographic area have similar situations with HOA liens and whatever, whatever, who are also absentee owners. So he has tile company pull off that information. And we teach you how to do this as part of Premier Coaching, by the way, guys. He had his tile company go and search for basically any little utility liens. I mean, we, by accident, on one of our rental properties, because we didn't even know this rental property we had in North Carolina had a HOA. We didn't know. It was like $200 a year. Well, we didn't pay it. The title company didn't, you know. So we ended up getting a silly lien and we had to pay it off. It's like, what HOA? So this stuff happens. So Joe went and pulled up the information about these properties in this particular area. And he found like 10 that had the similar liens on them and whatnot. And so what did he do? He got the phone numbers and he called them. He listed three others and sold two of them. He did all this since our last coaching call last week. That's called taking the initiative. And that's a guy who's making millions of dollars per year. You know, that's pretty amazing, right? So that, again, too soon to tell, but now he's figured out another little honey hole. He's going to keep on working that. You guys can do the same thing. Is that how you think, though? Or do you think like, oh my gosh, the market's only, oh, there's nothing for sale. Oh, the leads suck. Oh, what am I going to do with the other thing? Guys, listen, your future is not completely in your control. That's not true. There's so many things that can adversely or positively affect the trajectory of the rest of your life. That's just a human fact. Right? But here's what we do know. And you do know this too. The economy is going to change. Interest rates are going to increase. Housing balance is going to shift. The nature of the market is going to change. How do we know it's true? Because it's always true with everything. It's not a mystery. And we also know this, the business models that all of our competing coaching companies are proselytizing. Did I say that word right, Julie? I don't think I did. Proselytizing? Is it tizing or thizing? I think it's tizing. Oh, come on now. You're the etymology person. Yeah, you'll get
proselytizing. Don't ask me to spell it. I'd have to look that up.
Definitely don't ask me to spell it. But what they're all telling you guys is the same crap. Have you noticed that? Oh, just work your centers of influence and past clients and spoil them with forget-me-not seeds and whatever, whatever. Okay, I agree. That's a good concept. A spoke on the wheel, to be sure. But what happens to that nature of that market when the economy changes? What happens to those? Oh, I know. Those types of businesses don't grow. Businesses that are based on one spoke, let alone centers of influence and past clients, they stall out. How do we know that? Go back 10 years, guys. It happened. Okay, what about these big teams? What happens to big teams? Oh, I got this other one. Keller Williams agents who are being so sick of hearing about expansion teams. All this other teams. You know, everywhere I hear our competitors talking about, oh, you got to form a team. The future is teams. Oh, really? The future. How long is the future? How long are you? What's your crystal ball? How long does it go for? Because I can tell you, and I'm not, you know, the brightest bulb in the box, but it's obvious. Go back to the previous three recessions. Julie and I were in real estate. Many of you weren't. What happened to the biggest teams? What happened to these big roller teams with all their expansion members and their moving trucks and their billboards? What happened to all of them? They went out of business. They downsized. If they were lucky, they downsized fast enough. If they were lucky, they personally didn't suffer personal bankruptcy. And you know what? I was talking with Rob in Connecticut, very probably one of the smartest people, hopefully he's not listening because it'll go right to his head, I've ever coached. You know, this guy didn't come to real estate. He was on Wall Street, very successful, just brilliant guy, Ivy League educated guy. And I was asking him about, we're having this topic because he was one of the ones that were bemoaning the market. And I asked him if any of his incredible, he's friends with billionaires, neighbors with him. I said, well, what are these guys talking about? He goes, Tim, here's the thing. The Wall Street guys are just like everybody else. They don't know what's happening until it's happened. I thought, oh, that's not a very good feeling. And then but he reminded me, if you look historically at the past few slowdowns, that's how everybody reacts. It happens. And then everyone acts like, oh, I knew it was going to happen. They all say that, you know, but here's what we do know. It's going to happen in the next 24 months. People are going to start talking about a recession thereabouts. And if you are prepared, you won't give a shit because you can make money helping people no matter what direction the market's going. And here's a little secret that many of you who thrived during the last recession will know. When the market slows down, it's actually easier to make money, not harder. The market that you guys are selling in right now is a bitch. The market, when it starts to adjust, when there's an equal supply of buyers and sellers, or even when it becomes a buyer's market, it's much easier to take listings. It's much easier to get commissions. But all these agents that have this enormous overhead that are based on buying buyer leads, you guys do not have sustainable business models. Just look, don't, why would I tell you this if it wasn't true? Where's the advantage to us telling you this? We tell you this at our own detriment sometimes because we piss some of you off because we're so against, we're saying such different things than what everybody else is saying. We're the only ones saying this. Well, there's a couple others, Pat Hyben, which I really admire and respect. You know, there's other people that are saying the same thing because it's the truth. Anybody who's been in the business for a while knows it's the truth. The reason the other people don't tell you these things is because in my business, I need people that are optimistic or they don't buy coaching. If I'm telling you things that don't necessarily feel optimistic to you, but I know they're the right things to say, you know what? It's the honorable thing to do. It's the thing I should do if I have any character and integrity whatsoever. But if I knew what I know, and again, it's not a mystery. This is not some highfalutin knowledge base that I'm sharing with you guys. It's just history. If I knew what I know and I don't share it with you and I tell and I'm purporting myself to be a coach, somebody who gives a crap about our industry and agents, and we don't say what we know, we keep it to ourselves because we know by telling some of you guys this stuff, it causes you fear and you won't buy coaching. You guys following me here? If I did that, then I would have no integrity and I wouldn't have a right to call you. Call myself your coach. Are you there, Julie?
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. And there's too much of that out there, you know?
There is. And it you know what, guys? I it's not supposed to piss us off because we're supposed to be above being pissed off. You know, we're supposed to be coaches and all that. But it does, it sickens me when I see some of the things that you guys are being told to do in your businesses because I know it's a lie. And what's worse is I know the people that are telling you that know it's a lie. Because some of them have been in the business as long as we have. So they know what they're telling you is going to result in you crashing and burning as soon as the market changes. They know they tell you to do this anyway because they're making money from it. That's the truth. Brokers, office managers who've not been through a recession or a changing market, I worry about you guys the most. But here it is. We're leaving it all in the field for you. You can choose to do it with the information as you choose. You can choose to use this information to motivate you to get ahead of the curve, or you can just wait around to see if we were right. It's inevitable that we're right because recessions and slowdowns happen like clockwork every 7 to 10 years, and we're overdue. Julie, any trailing thoughts? Or did I go too far off the deep end today?
No, it's all good. I mean, your job is to take what the market's willing to give you, and your job is to know what that is. And when it's fast and furious and we're all battling for, you know, the scarce inventory and you guys are competing and dealing with appraisal issues and inspection problems and all these things, it's easy to be blinded by the business as you're doing it. And that's one of the reasons why we have coaching clients, so that we can be watching for that for you. And, you know, Tim, you talk about people don't react till it happens to them and then they react to it. I remember, we talk about this occasionally because we talk to so many coaching clients all day long, every day. We could probably look at our coaching schedules and pinpoint just about when it hit the fan last time. I mean,
definitely.
I remember it was all of a sudden. It really was like it went from kind of how the market feels now to what do you mean it didn't sell overnight with 17 different competing offers to yep. Wait a minute, it's been on the market for 2 weeks. What the hell? And then how can it be worth less than they paid in what, 6 months or less? It was crazy.
Did I tell you?
But to your point, it was, you know, more abundant business. Go ahead.
Well, no, you just touched on something. Guys, we're putting an article up on timandjulieharris.com. There was a report that came out 2 days ago that shows something like 10% of all homeowners are still underwater, and not underwater a little bit, but underwater a ton in their houses still 10 years after the supposed bottom of the market, still 10%. It was an enormous number of people, and it lists all the cities. So that's going to be on our website the next day or so. So look, guys, please be prepared. You got in this business for all kinds of differing reasons, but the real reason you got in this business is because you wanted to take care of yourself and you wanted to take care of your families. We respect that, and we're doing our best to help you create that, but you got to listen to what we're saying with regards to basically being prepared. If you're following these popular, trendy business models of, you know, big teams and branding and logos, and if you think some slogan is going to save your ass, I promise you, you're going to suffer, and you're going to suffer needlessly. So when we maybe overdo it on this podcast, like maybe we did today, and some of you are going to be offended, some of you are going to take, you know, oh, I don't believe that, you know, some of these ideas that you big teams, it's almost become a religion. It's ridiculous. Look, we're not against teams. We're against unprofitable big teams where the owner basically makes a little tiny margin that's unsustainable as soon as the market slows down. Intuitively, those of you who are running big teams, you know what I'm saying is true. You've had lean months before, but you've made it up. What happens if you have lean 6 months? Do you think you can fire people fast enough? You can't. You're going to burn through your personal savings. That's what happened last time. That's what happened the time before that. You guys think big teams are a new thing? Wrong. They've been around since the 90s. There's been, what, 3 or 4 recessions since 95? What happens to the big teams in every recession? Please listen to what we're saying. Be prepared. If there's anything we can do for you, there's 2 ways you can get a hold of us. Obviously, if you've not had a coaching call, a free coaching call is always waiting for you at freecoachingcallsforagents.com, freecoachingcallsforagents.com, or just email us directly, tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. Yes, I know we didn't get to the topic. We'll get to it tomorrow. Hopefully what we had to say did benefit all of you, and hopefully you guys can do something with this information to motivate yourself. By the way, isn't that interesting? Knowing the truth, knowing that you can do something about it, knowing that you can be prepared for the future, don't you feel strangely motivated even though there was no rah-rah? It's kind of cool, isn't it? You guys are learning the truth about mindset, not the hocus-pocus about mindset. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.